Appreciate the presence of everyone tonight. We want to direct our attention to 1 John chapter 1 and the first seven verses of 1 John chapter 1, where we read, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands handled, concerning the word of life. Life was manifested or was made seen, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him, and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Clearly here, John is talking about us being in fellowship with God. That which was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him. That's who He's talking about here, the Word of life that He is talking about here at the end of verse 1. "We are declaring the Word of life to you, that you might have fellowship with us as we have fellowship with God." You ever thought about that? You ever thought how wonderful it is to be in fellowship with God, and just the very possibility of you and I as human beings being in fellowship with God? What does that mean, to be in fellowship? Well, it means to have in common. It means that... that not that He is like us, but that we have been made like Him. That the things that He cares about are the things that we care about. That the standard of purity is not based upon our inconsistent standard, but upon His consistent, absolute standard. That we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. And there is no darkness at all in Him. The possibility that you and I can be in fellowship with God. And how is that made possible? It's made possible, first of all, by the Word of God being made flesh and dwelling amongst us, and the declaration of the Word of God and the message of the Word of God, the gospel of Christ, the standard of righteousness being revealed to us in the Word of God, and us recognizing that standard and conforming ourselves to it. Notice here that this fellowship with God is dependent on us walking in the light as He is in the light. And sometimes you might read that and you might say, well, I'm not real sure what that means. Well, the statement just before that explains what it means to walk in the light. It means to practice the truth just as it has been delivered. We are not to be like Pilate and pretend that truth is some philosophical concept. What is truth? what's truth to you and might not be true to this person. And now we've certainly brought that to the utmost limit today, haven't we? My truth, your truth, I can't condemn your truth, and you can't condemn my truth, and we need to respect each other's truth. That's just a bunch of nonsense, isn't it? Morgan, try that in your math classes. Morgan's taking some pretty high degree math classes and stuff, and next time the teacher tells you, well, that's the wrong answer, say, it's my answer, it's the truth. You need to respect my answer. And then he's going to say, well, you need to respect the answer, right? That's usually the way that conversation goes, isn't it? And we need to respect that God has the standard of truth when it comes to spiritual matters. And anything that God speaks to, that's the truth on the matter. Whether it's scientific or historic or spiritual, if God's word speaks to that subject, he's speaking the truth on that subject. We need to be practicing the truth as it's revealed to us. And if we do so, we will be walking in the light as he is in the light. It means that if we are practicing the truth just as it's delivered, we won't be practicing any darkness at all. You ever thought about that? When we sin, it's not because we said, well, the Word of God right here says that this is what we should be doing. It will always be saying, don't do that. Practice the truth and you will walk in the light just as he is in the light. Jesus simplifies this for us, as we notice so many times in John chapter 14 and verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love for God is not tested and qualified by a feeling in our heart. Our love for God is tested by whether we are keeping his commandments or not. Whether we are practicing the truth and walking in the light or not. Verse 21, Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest, make myself seen to him. Now, when John, in 1 John chapter 1, was talking about Christ being manifested, being seen, he was literally seen with John's eyes. But John is saying, we are telling you about what we have seen with our eyes so that you may see him through the eye of faith. And that's what Jesus is saying here. If you have my commandments and keep them, you will see me. Through the eye of faith, you will see me. And in verse 23, he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That the more and more we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the more that light fills our life and truth. And we know beyond the shadow of any doubt that we walk with God. And God walks with us. And he lives in us. Because we have determined to walk in the light as he is in the light. It is our desire to be in fellowship with him. And aren't we thankful that God has made it possible for that fellowship to exist? He's made it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins so that we might walk in righteousness with him and glorify his name thereby. So what have we seen? We've seen that fellowship with God is dependent upon us walking in the light as he is in the light. It is dependent upon us practicing the truth, just as He revealed the truth to us. I want you to consider with me also Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You've got a pretty good reputation when you're equal with God, don't you? You're pretty highly exalted when you're equal with God the Father. And that's just exactly what it's talking about. It's talking about when the Word of God was with the Father in heaven, in His exalted position, recognized by all the heavenly host for all of the glory that was due Him, He gave that up. He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant. We touched on a bond servant this morning, didn't we? That it was commonly practiced in Bible times that if somebody borrowed money from someone and then they weren't able to repay it, that they would become an indentured servant to that one that they had borrowed money from until their debt was paid off. Well, Jesus doesn't owe anybody anything. But He took it upon Himself to pay our bond, to get us out of sin and into fellowship with Him. He paid the price of sin for us in His death. Taking the form of a bondservant. That means He was a bondservant, but it means He took the form of a bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. For us to be in fellowship with God, we must have the mind of Christ. We must have the mind of making ourselves of no reputation. Now, that's a problem for us, isn't it? Why do we have such a hard time stopping sinning? Because we're just full of ourselves, aren't we? We want to do what we want to do. What brings us joy or pleasure or whatever it might be. Whatever exalts us, whatever gratifies the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, we want to do that. But if we're going to be in fellowship with God, we have to make ourselves of no reputation. What we want to do in the carnal nature doesn't matter anymore. What we want to do is we want to be in fellowship with God. And to do that, we have to empty ourselves of ourselves. We have to make ourselves of no reputation. And it seems to me that our culture that's getting more and more difficult to do. That we live in a culture that celebrates self, that encourages you to promote yourself, that encourages you to call attention to yourself. And what Christ calls us to do is call attention to Him. In your life, you call attention to me. You call attention to my Father. You call attention to righteousness. But if we're going to be in fellowship with God, we have to make ourselves of no reputation, just as Christ made Himself of no reputation. In taking on the form of a bondservant. Now we truly owe God a lot, don't we? We have a debt to repay, but here's the thing, we can't repay that debt. I mean, we can pay the debt. You can pay the debt of your sin. You can be separated from God in this life. And you might say, well, that's not so bad. I mean, I enjoyed the beauty of the day and this day and its warmth. And I enjoyed company with my friends and neighbors. And I'm enjoying good health and I'm eating good food. And I might not be in fellowship with God, but it's not so bad not being in fellowship. Well, the general blessings of God are for everyone. For the saint and the sinner. For the good and the evil. And if you choose to be paying your sin in this life and being separated from God, not being in fellowship with God, and enjoying the carnal blessings of God in this, if that's good enough for you, then enjoy that while you can. Because after this life, there will be nothing good. After this life, and in the place that's called hell, prepared for the devil and his angels, there is no light at all. There is no comfort at all. There is no freedom from pain at all. There is no fellowship with other people at all. There is weeping and gnashing of teeth, and you'll hear all of that, but you won't be able to comfort each other, and they won't be able to comfort you. Their misery and your misery will just contribute to each other's misery forever and ever and ever. There will be nothing good at all. Every good and perfect thing comes from God, and God is not in hell. And nothing of God is in hell. There will be no fellowship with anything that is good and perfect. So yes, you can pay the price of your sin and be separated from God for all eternity, but where does that God get you? What profit is there in that? Nothing. But misery and regret forever and ever and ever. So we can be in bondage, but we're not a bond servant while we're in bondage. Or we can be a bond servant in Christ, trying to repay God, as sometimes we think of it. But the fact of the matter is that we really can't repay God. All we can do is get back on track for the purpose that we were created, to revere God, to keep His commandments, and to live that way from that day forward. I want you to notice, as he goes on here, that Christ humbled himself and became obedient. And if we are going to be in fellowship with God, then certainly we need to humble ourselves and become obedient to God. We've already covered that in this lesson, haven't we? To keep the commandments of God. That's what it takes to be in fellowship with God. And to keep those commandments, we need to humble ourselves. We need to let the Word of God reprove us. We need to let the Word of God correct us. We need to let the Word of God teach us in the ways of righteousness so that we might be practicing that righteousness and be in fellowship with God. Jesus became obedient. Now notice, to the point of death. And he goes on to say, even the death of the cross. But I submit to you that for you and I to be in fellowship with God, we must be obedient to the point of death also. Isn't that what Romans chapter 6 teaches us? Do you not know that so many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? That you were baptized to put sin to death in your life? That's what the entire chapter is about. You are dead to sin. Well, if I'm dead to sin, then I can't practice sin, can I? We've talked about, you know, I like pecan pie. How much pecan pie am I going to eat when I'm dead? Not. Can't do that. And if I'm dead to sin, how much sin can I practice? Can't. Need to be pure as He is pure, holy as He is holy, light as He is light, no darkness at all. Can we do that? Yeah. Yes, we can do that. It takes a commitment. It takes a love for God. It takes a determination to be in fellowship with God by walking in the light as He is in the light, by always practicing the truth, by having the mind of Christ. I am dead to sin. As you look at the life of Christ, who did He always point to? Did He always point to Himself? Look at me, look at me, look at me. No. Look to the Father. Glorify Him in all things. Fellowship with God is achieved because God made it possible in Christ. And by our determination to always walk in the light as He is in the light, to always practice the truth, to always have this mind of Christ, that it's not about me and the reputation that I might have. It's about serving the Lord and humbling yourself to the point of death, dead to sin. Finally, I want to consider with you what Jesus had to say on the night before He was crucified as He was praying to the Father. He begins here by praying on behalf of the apostles. He says, "But now I come to you," speaking to His Father, "and these things I speak in the world." He's the Word of God made flesh. He has spoken the things of God. "These things I speak in the world." Did the world hear what I had to say? Some of them did. Some of them heard it and turned from the world and turned to Him. But these apostles especially had. "These things I speak in the world," why? "That they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." What brought Christ joy? Glorifying His Father. And when we do the things that God has revealed to us in Christ, there's certainly reason for us to have joy, knowing that we are in fellowship with Him, with the Father. He makes it very plain in verse 14. He says, "I have given them your word." What things was He speaking in the world? He was speaking the word of the Father. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." You know, if you're going to be in fellowship with God, you're not going to be in fellowship with those who are not in fellowship with God. They're not going to appreciate what you have to say. You know, and I'll tell you, I'm really concerned about what I'm seeing in the political realm today and what the left is advancing and promoting. I'm sure you all saw the news this week and the horrible things that were passed in New York and attempted to be passed in Virginia. That you can abort a baby even as it's being in the birth canal. Forget about the third trimester. The mother says, "I don't want this baby." And then you had the governor of Virginia saying, "Yeah, we can basically, we can abort it after it's been born. It's terrible. Where do people come up with that kind of thing? They don't come up with it because they revere God and keep His commandments, that's for sure. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The sad thing about it is they don't even have a desire for knowledge. They don't have a desire to empty themselves of themselves as Christ did. They just want to promote themselves. Let's run this up the flagpole and see who salutes. You know, and the crazy thing about it is there's a bunch of people who are saluting. That evil never quits. They'll introduce something, and if it gets voted down, they don't say, well, I guess people don't want... No, they'll introduce it again. You know, and the more familiar it becomes to us, then the more seemingly palatable it becomes to society. Yeah, the world has hated them. Because they are not of the world. The world's not going to like you if you desire to be in fellowship with God. So, you need to choose who you want your peers to be. Do you want your peers to be those who are destined for hell? Because they do not love God or His Word or His standard of righteousness. Do you want to be in fellowship with them? Or do you want to be in fellowship with Almighty God who loves you, created you, sent His Son to pay the price for your sin and redeem you, has your very best interest at heart? I know who I've chosen. And I believe I know who you've chosen. But we need to always be committed to stand on the right side. Verse 15, he goes on to say, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's why the world hates us. That's why the world hated him. Sanctify them. Sanctify means to set apart. Make them holy. Sanctify them by your truth. What is truth? Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus seems to be saying here that His sanctification was a conscious thing that He had set Himself to. That He was always reminding Himself of who He was, what His mission was. Not only the salvation of our souls, but the glorification of His Father. And that reminding of who He was and what His mission was encouraged him to remain sanctified. And that's the same thing for us, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Remind yourself of who you are and what God created you to be. Verse 20 says, I do not pray for these, the apostles alone, but also for those who believe on me through their word. That's you and me. That's everyone who has ever believed in God through Christ by the Word of God, by the Gospel. Now notice, I pray for those who believe on me through their Word, the Word of the Apostles, the Gospel, that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they also may be one in us. Not only that they may be one, but that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That when we are in fellowship with God, when we are holy as He is holy, when we are pure as He is pure, when we walk in the light as He is in the light, the world says, they don't live the way that we live. They live by a different code than we live by. They live by a standard of righteousness, a standard of truth that is unwavering. They live, in the first century, Christians who lived this way were called the Way. They live in the way of God, the way of Almighty God. He goes on in verse 22 to say, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Let that sink in for a little bit. The glory that you gave me, I have given them. We rightly glorify Jesus of Nazareth, the Word of God, made flesh. For His love, for His sacrifice, for His righteousness. And Jesus says they can have the same thing. Why did He give it? That they may be one just as we are one. The whole time that Jesus was here upon the earth, He was in fellowship with the Father. And we can be in fellowship with the Father and with the Son. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me. The life that they live in the keeping of my word is evidence that you sent me into the world. And have loved them as you have loved me. In verse 26, he goes on to say, and I have declared them your name, and will declare it. Why? That the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. I declare your word, that the love that you love me may be in them, and that I may be in them. Do you see how much God wants us to be in fellowship with Him? Do you want that as much as He does? I believe you do. I believe that's one of the reasons you're here. I believe that's a reason you practice righteousness in your life. But I want to encourage you to cherish this fellowship. Don't compromise this fellowship. Don't try to define this fellowship down to the standards of carnality. But always keep this standard of fellowship where it belongs, in the divine realm. To participate in the divine nature while here on earth, to the glory of God, to His praise. Fellowship with God. Are you in fellowship with God? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you been born again to put off the man of sin, to be dead to sin and alive to righteousness? Are you living to His glory? If not, why not? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? You don't want to pay the price for your sins. Jesus paid it for you if you'll just let Him. Empty yourself of yourself. Get rid of your reputation and take on His reputation. Lift Him up in your life and live to His glory. If you're here today and you're a child of God, but you recognize that you're out of favor with God because you've harbored some darkness in your walk of light, empty yourself of that darkness this very evening. Let us pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation tonight in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.